And as Jack said, our lesson is going to be dealing with the Christian colleges, blessing or bane. And our study is so important because it affects the home and the church. And brethren, if we do not get this right today, tomorrow, hearts will be broken. Because in our schools, our children are being trained and taught, and they're given examples. You know, as I began preparing for this lesson, I was not really prepared for the mountain of material that I found and seeing the problems and the situations that are in our Christian colleges. My intention today is not to attack Christian colleges because, as Jack said, the concept is really good. The concept is really something that's wonderful, something that could be of a benefit to our homes and to our congregations. But we need to be informed. We need to be looking and making decisions concerning this material that we're going to be presenting today. You know, when this evidence is set before us, we have got to make a decision as to how we're going to deal with this particular problem. Because, my brethren, it is a greater problem than you can imagine. You know, the Bible tells us in Jude 3 that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. Also, when we look in Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Decisions have to be made. When evidence of things comes before us, when things are laid out before us, we've got to look at that evidence and we've got to make some decisions so that things can be as they ought to be. You know, many people have said a school is not the church. And we agree with that. But brethren, when sin is committed, it is sin wherever it is. Whether it be a congregation that we oppose because of error, because of individuals who are doing things that are contrary to the will of God, the same principle applies to Christian colleges. You know, it seems that our concern for our children's spiritual welfare ought to take first place in our lives rather than allegiances to Christian colleges. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible there tells us we're to try the spirits, whether they be of God. I want you to note something with me. I found this. Brother Wendell Winkler made this statement in the 2002 Spiritual Sword. Brother Winkler said, "When students leave homes and congregations with their family firmly planted and are pointed in the right direction, but return from their educational climates with their faith greatly altered, something needs to be scrutinized." And I know of certain situations that needs to be scrutinized. Parents wonder what happened to the faith of their children. They're exposed to false doctrines, sinful practices in the classes of the halls of higher learning. As I said, I know some situations like this, and parents wonder what happened. You know, we need to keep in mind the scripture that says, "Train up a child." Proverbs 22:6. Brethren, training up a child includes the home they're in, the congregation that we raise them in, and the education that they receive. That's part of the training of a child. And we as parents need to make sure that we look and see that their training is proper in the home, in congregations where we attend, and then schools, especially those schools that call themselves Christian colleges. This morning we're going to look at three things. First, we're going to look at some departures from the faith. Number two, we're going to look at some of the solutions or remedies to that. And then there's going to be a plea that we try and turn things back to where they ought to be. I want to read to you first the purpose of a Christian college, and this comes from the Lipscomb University catalog. Now, listen to what it says. "As was the dream of its founders, the vision of Lipscomb University is to advance the kingdom of God by developing individuals who are spiritually, socially, physically, and intellectually equipped to serve an unchanging God in an ever-changing world. They further go on to say that they are there to promote Christian faith and practice by providing specially designed programs, activities, and worship experiences which strengthen the desire to be faithful, knowledgeable, and mature Christians. The university is committed to serve the church, the community, and the world by providing opportunities for Christians to participate in events designed to strengthen the church. That was the purpose. And in their catalog, this is what they're saying. But brethren, because they wanted to advance and not be schools or colleges, they wanted to advance to university status, things began to change. They had to begin to do certain things, and they began to go in another direction. I want to read you another statement that was made by Brother N.B. Hardiman. The statement is this: if I could start over again, I would have a school in which only the Bible would be taught. What is he saying? He says we would get out of this secular education and stay with teaching the Bible and the Word of God. What I want us to do now in the first part of our lesson is just to look at some departures from the faith. And I've not tried to single out any particular school, and there's a lot that I'm not going to be able to include in this. But the ones I am are ones that we are familiar with, and maybe because it's the areas in which we live. Let me begin by giving you an example from Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. You can just look at their lectureship program and find the who's who's of the liberals in our brotherhood. Those who are carrying away people from the faith. But in 1982, I was living in Mineral Springs, Arkansas. There was a preacher's luncheon held once a month in Hope, Arkansas. And a number of us went there every month. One month, at the end of the discussion, we always had a discussion of a subject that had already been determined, and then we would eat lunch. At the end of that session, someone made the statement, "Why is it that we cannot preach what is taught in our colleges?" Somebody said, "What do you mean?" And the individual said, "Well, I mean like at Harding. I cannot teach what they teach concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage." Of course, we were in Arkansas, and an uproar went up and said, "That's not so." So they invited Cliff Gaines, who was the president at that time of Harding University, to come and address that preacher's luncheon the very next month. He came. Listen, brethren, how he began his speech to those preachers, a room full. He said, "We know that there are five men in our Bible department that hold a false view on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we send our children to places that are going to be taught things contrary to the will of God concerning the home and the sacredness of marriage." Well, let me read another one. Abilene Christian University. You know, a mark of unfaithfulness of that university is seen in who they have on their lectureship programs as well. Just have to look at it. But in 2004, in their lectureship, Max Licato was honored as being an outstanding man for 2003. Now, this man's liberalism is known throughout the brotherhood. And here is a Christian college honoring, calling him the man of the year, who will exchange pulpits with a Baptist, who will say the instrument is fine, who will say that if you'll pray the sinner's prayer, you'll be saved. That's in Abilene Christian University. Also at Abilene Christian University, in 2003, they invited a Baptist minister to speak at their chapel. Tony Campolo gave his speech and then invited the students to join him in an inner city mission work. And many of the students joined him in that mission work. Also in 2002, Katie Hayes, a female preacher for the West Islip Church of Christ in West Islip, New York, was invited to come and critique the ACU's Advanced Preacher Students' sermons, and then she spoke in chapel before the student body. Also at Abilene Christian University. This was amazing to me. I had to go back and read this a number of times. The Church of Oprah. Filled. That was the title of a lesson they had. The Church of Oprah filled faster Monday than most mainstream churches could ever hope on a Sunday. The 75 seats in the Abilene Christian University classroom were quickly grabbed, and the remainder of the congregants sat cross-legged on the floor. And then the individual Chris Altrock, who is a preacher of the Highland Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, and here's the statement he made. Oprah is one of the most influential spiritual leaders in America. That's Abilene Christian University. Fried Hardeman University. They've been involved in programs that were involved with Max Lucado. In April 2002, I wrote to Milton Sewell when Max Lucado was coming to Jackson. The Fried Hardeman University Chorus was joining with a university, the Union University Chorus. That's a Baptist school in Jackson. They were combining voices to sing together at the program that was presented by Max Lucado. When I got in touch with Mr. Sewell, he wouldn't answer me. He had someone else get in touch with me. And the answer that I got was, this was from John Hall. His response was, this was a community humanitarian effort. And he said, we are joining together, as we have done in the past, with the community to support this effort for good works to the community. You can fellowship denominationalism. You can fellowship rank false teachers as long as it is for a community benefit. That's Fried Hardeman. Also, if you want to look at some advertisements for their basketball program, look at the girls' basketball program, and you tell me if you think that is modesty. I went to the internet, and I brought up some pictures. Not very large ones, but they're pictures, and you can look at them, of the girls' volleyball. That is not modesty. And the men are standing around watching them play volleyball, their practice. Immodesty is not a part of that school any longer. The school is also advocating the acceptance of the lottery-funded scholarships. Dr. Dwayne Wilson, Executive Vice President of Fried Hardeman, said, a student accepting a scholarship is not demonstrating approval of gambling or other lottery-related problems. The source of the money, that's independent. Mr. Wilson goes on to say, money is morally neutral. An individual is responsible for what he or she does to earn it, but not for its history when they have no control over that history. Well, I wonder what Fried Hardeman would do if Jack Daniels decided to have a scholarship donated to the school. And if they have no control over the monies that's going to be used, what about the alcohol, the tobacco? What about prostitution? Any and all sinful practices could be accepted as long as we were not the ones that were doing the gambling. We could just take the revenue from it. You know, this idea of our so-called Christian colleges is out of place. Those things that I've just read are things that are carrying away our young people. And brethren, do not be duped and fooled by saying, well, I'm training them properly at home, and they're not going to fall into that. That's not the truth. I've seen it too many times. Where in the world are we going to find Scripture that says, I'm going to expose my child to that kind of thing for the sake of education because I trained them? What you do is you send them to a school and they sit at the feet of those men and they're to learn. And they do learn. Lipscomb University, again. The Lord Reigns will be the theme of the Lipscomb University Summer Celebration June 30th through July 3rd. The series will open at 5 p.m. June the 30th with a special dinner honoring missionaries followed by a 7:30 keynote address featuring Rick Atchley, preaching minister of the Richland Hills Church of Christ, North Richland Hills, Texas. Now, brethren, few congregations are more liberal than North Richland Hills and the Fort Worth, Texas area. But they're going to use him to be their keynote speaker. They had the summer celebration. It was filled with who's on the liberal list. Joe Beam, who someone wrote and said he's off beam, and he is. He's the man who believes the Holy Spirit guided him as he counseled a young couple who was having problems with their marriage. I've got the tape. How he sat there, he said, I sat there with them and I had prayed that the Holy Spirit would tell me every time one of those two would tell me a lie. And he sat down with a couple counseling them, and he said, all of a sudden I'd stop and say, you just told a lie. And the lady said, why do you know that? He said, because the Holy Spirit just gave me that information. David Lipscomb University. Let me read you one more statement from that school. This was sent out in Tennessee. I suppose most of the preachers in that state got this letter from Stephen Flatt, who's the president of Lipscomb University. A recent Associated Press article distributed statewide detailed my appointment to a task force charged with determining how funds generated by a potential state lottery will be used to assess students as they pursue a college or university education. There are several points I want to make clear. He says, I'm still opposed to the lottery. I'll continue to oppose the lottery, but I will sit on that board so that I can help distribute that money, that sinful money, that ill-gotten money into our universities. Well, we could also talk about Oklahoma Christian University. And the Oklahoma Christian University on their lectureship has men who are false. One man on their program was the speaker. His name is Mark Henderson. He's from the nearby Quail Springs congregation. And you can read a lot of this on the internet concerning Oklahoma Christian University. But this man was a member of Billy Graham's executive committee during the 2003 Oklahoma City campaign. He was quoted in the Daily Oklahoma as saying that Billy Graham has preached the gospel to more people in the past 50 years than any other person. The university has him come in and he's going to be one of their speakers. I could go on and there's other things that I could say, but suffice it with those to show some things that are going on. I could give you more on each one of the ones that I've given, plus other universities. But that's the example of departures. Brethren, that is the examples of the climate in which we are placing our children, and we send them there to do what? Learn what they're taught. Now, what I want to do at this point is, what can we do? What is it that we can do about that? Without doubt, these schools are playing a vital and key role in carrying the church into apostasy. If that's not the truth, I've not told it. Because our children are trained there, they learn there, they go back then to congregations and they carry what they learned and what they saw. You let a preacher stand up and speak against immodesty, and all he's had is that put in his face. You talk about versions, he's had all kinds of versions. The doctrines of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, he carries that back to the congregation. He grows up, he becomes an elder in that congregation, and the congregation goes further into apostasy. You know, they stand in opposition to what faithful gospel preachers and elderships and congregations stand for. But let's do this. To stop this digression, what do we need to do? We need to act right now. And the first thing we need to do is parents need to take a close look at these schools through the eyes of the Bible, not through the eyes of wanting their children to have higher education. They ought to look at what's being taught there through the eyes of the Bible. We've already mentioned how in 1 John 4, verse 1, we're to try the spirits. Does that not include all things? In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 21, we're to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. The Scripture there does not say prove all things, hold fast to that which does not conflict with the higher education in our Christian colleges. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119, verse 105, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Error will lead us into darkness. I want you to follow with me as I read from 1 John chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 5, what do we just said? Error will lead us into darkness. This then is a message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. What did He say? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If I say I am in the light, but I am involved, I am taking part in things that are sinful, I'm in the darkness, brethren. And God is going to hold us accountable for that. Error can be taught verbally, and it can be taught by an example. How can one thing be taught and the opposite be practiced? Listen, how am I going to speak against immodesty when the school promotes it, advocates it, and puts it out there in front? I'm telling you, those things happen. Children come back, young people come back, and the preacher stands up and he preaches against immodesty, and they sit there and say, I know better, because I went to the halls of higher learning at a Christian college. And we lose our young people. Because you teach one thing, the schools teach something else. Not only do they teach it, but they demonstrate it with their actions. Matthew 7, verse 21 and following. You know, we can say all we want to, but we have to do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, other passages. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How in the world can we call a school a Christian school when it does things contrary to Christianity? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How long, brethren, how long can we fellowship error? Ephesians 5, verse 6 and 7. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't do that. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What I just read, do you call that the light? Or do you call that darkness? Remember, God is light, and in Him is how much darkness? No darkness at all. And then we look at Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Brethren, I really believe with all of my heart we need to be applying Romans 16:17. Did I read where divisions are being caused? What does it say? Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. What? Mark them and avoid them. Why? Because they're doing things contrary to the doctrine. They're doing those things that are contrary to the cause of Christ. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to hear to err from the words of knowledge. Cease that. Don't do that. Mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, why are we going to say, son, daughter, you go over there and you learn? Are we saying to them, you're going to go and you're going to hear? The Bible here says, cease to hear them. Don't be involved with them. Have no fellowship with them. To what degree? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let me ask you a question. Make a statement first, as we've already done, how people say, and correctly so, we're not the church. A college is not the church. But they say we're an extension of the home. That's what people are saying. And would you disagree with that? I wouldn't. They're not the church, but they're to be an extension of the home. They're to complement what the home teaches. Listen carefully, brethren. Do these schools, do they represent accurately the doctrine which you have taught and what your home now stands for? Do they? They are not the church. They're an extension of the home. Is that what you want them to learn? Is that what you've taught them at home? Do the schools uphold faithful homes that are teaching things concerning versions? No, they're not. Do they fortify the home's teaching on modesty? No, they do not. Do they teach the same as being taught at home on marriage, divorce, and remarriage? No, they're not. I personally have seen the departures in these areas that I just mentioned. The versions, modesty, and marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I think Brother Taylor would fortify what I'm about to say, how that he stood, he and Brother Meredith, and had a discussion with people concerning the version only begotten. And men at that school in Fried Hardeman opposed the idea of the only begotten. And they're on the Bible faculty. Now, here's a question too. How long, listen carefully to this question. How long would you stay with a congregation which taught what is practiced and taught in our Christian college? How long would you stay with a congregation that was teaching things contrary to the NIVs or other off-base translations? How long would you stay with them if they were using wrong versions, if they were fellowshipping those who were in error, widely known in error? How long would you stay with a congregation that the preacher stood up and allowed immodesty? Or how long would you stay with a congregation that an eldership allowed immodesty in the congregation? How long would you stay with that? I think I know the answer. Then why would we stay with schools that tear down and will not fortify what we know the Bible teaches? Doctrinally, sound things that makes our children strong and makes them faithful. Well, someone said to me one time, at least the church schools are better than the state schools. I don't believe that. I used to have an idea. I've changed some of my thinking about some of those things. I used to think, well, maybe that's so. Because they go there and they meet and marry somebody who is a member of the church. But what if your child meets and marries someone who is from the Woodmont congregation? I'll tell you what, you probably have a harder time bringing them out of liberalism than trying to convert one who was never a Christian. I really believe that. Also, and I've heard people say, well, what I'm going to do in this Christian school, I'm going to pick and choose who is the teacher of my child. Does that sound odd to you? I've got to go and I've got to pick and choose who's going to be the teacher. Why? Because the rest is filled with error. When you come to a congregation, do you say, well, here's the teacher. This is the only teacher I'm going to have teach my child. Would you stay with a congregation like that? Would you support a congregation like that? I don't believe so. You know, in Christian colleges, we send our children, now listen carefully to what I'm about to say now. If you don't get anything else, get this. We send them to Christian colleges. They go because it's a Christian college, and they walk in and they let their guard down. Why? Because this is a Christian college. They're fraught with error. Let me come to the last part of this lesson. I want to talk about plea. I think, without doubt, and I've got a stack of material that will verify what we've said. And we have looked at things that are going on. We have talked about some of the things we can do. We can stand up and say, this is it. I want to look at last here at a plea. The first thing we ought to do is we ought to be praying for a return to doctrinal soundness. That ought to be the first objective of a Christian college. Not if they've got a good math department, good English department, but do they have good Bible teaching and the examples being taught and seen concerning that? You know, our concern ought to be not for athletics or lectureships, not popularity, academia. It ought to be, for are they going to learn Bible and see the Bible exemplified? Number two, you ought to hold the school officials accountable. And I'm going to tell you one thing about that. You'll have about as much ease doing that as you would be to hold on to a rattlesnake. I don't mean that unkind. I'm just simply saying it's hard to get an answer. Milton Sewell called me one time and said, I understand you do not support Freed Hardeman University. I said, well, that's not what I said. What I said was, I do not support Freed Hardeman lectureship. He said, why? I said, because you have men on there who are unsound. He said, whom? I said, F. Lagarde Smith. He said, well, what about Mr. Smith? I said, well, in his book on baptism, at the end of it, he talked about how that baptism is like a marriage, and we wouldn't argue with that. And he went through that, and then he said, we don't know for sure. I don't know for sure, but it may be that some who had not been baptized, that God is going to let into heaven on a common law marriage. When I said that to Brother Sewell, I thought, well, I've got him cornered. He said, well, if he had to write that book again, he wouldn't write that. Brethren, that's exact words. We need to make them accountable. Say no. Say no. And accept nothing. Listen, accept nothing which God will not accept. Don't support these schools in any way at all. You know, we just have to ask the question, what is our decision? We can let it go, and it'll deteriorate and deteriorate. And brethren, I can promise you this. It is today affecting congregations throughout the brotherhood. It is doing it today. Silence is not our answer. I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hands, but how many of us have voiced our strong disapproval? 1 Kings 18, verse 21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The schools are not the church. But the church is being carried in the wrong direction because, in a great part, to the things that are being taught and practiced and allowed in our so-called Christian colleges. I thank you so very much for your kind attention this morning.